السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی کنٹینیوئنگ ود دی بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ عنہ. سو وی ہیو ڈسکسڈ دی پاسنگ اوے آف عمر رضی اللہ عنہ. سو وین دی لاش دی باڈی ناؤ آف عمر رضی اللہ عنہ was placed now on, you know, on the deathbed. So the people gathered around him and people made dua, right? The person has passed away, so different people are making duas. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, I was also there, and suddenly I felt somebody holding my shoulder. And when I looked, I saw that it is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So Ali radiallahu anhu made dua, that, oh Allah, have mercy on Umar radiallahu anhu. And then he said, this is a statement of Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, oh Umar, you have not left behind you a person whose deeds I like to imitate and meet Allah Ta'ala with more than I like your deeds. In other words, he said, there is nobody living now that is better to emulate than you. You were the best example for us after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. By Allah, I always thought that Allah Ta'ala would keep you with your two companions. For very often I used to hear Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, I, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu went somewhere. I, Abu Bakr and Umar entered. I, Abu Bakr and Umar went out. So all the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu used to always be together. And I always point this out to you when we do the ahadith also, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu. So Ali radiallahu anhu is saying that I always had this thought that Allah Ta'ala will keep you with them. In other words, you will be buried also next to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this narrative of the Shia, that there was enmity between Umar radiallahu anhu and Ali radiallahu anhu, is all lies. It's all things that they make up. There was a lot of muhabbat. I mean, if there was no muhabbat, why would Umar radiallahu anhu include Ali radiallahu anhu in that council of six, that the Khalifa must be from amongst them? So the demise of Umar radiallahu anhu was like how if a terrible disaster has to hit a place, right, what effect it would have on the people of that place. That is the effect it had on the Ummah at the time. He did not pass away due to an illness. And what made it more terrible was that it took place in the masjid. In Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he was leading the Fajr Salah, he was making imamat. The reaction of the Muslims shows the effect of the incident on them. Amr bin Maymun radiallahu anhu said, it was as if people had never been afflicted with a calamity before that day. The people didn't know what a calamity is until the day they experienced the demise of Umar radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that he did not pass by any group of people except that he found them weeping as if they had lost their firstborn child. Ahnaf bin Qais radiallahu anhu said, when Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed, he told Suhaib radiallahu anhu to lead the salah and to provide them with food for 3 days. Until they united upon the new Khalif. But when the food was laid out, people couldn't eat. People couldn't eat. Abbas radiallahu anhu said, O people, indeed Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away and we had to still eat and drink after him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away and then too we had to still come to terms with it and eat and drink. So it is a necessity for people to eat and drink. So then he started eating. And then people saw him and they also took a few morsels. Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu, whenever he was reminded of Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to weep so much that the pebbles on the ground would become wet with his tears. And he would say, Umar was the fortress of Islam in which people used to enter and not come out. In other words, until he was alive, people were safe. When he passed away, the fortress broke. Now that fortress that we had, this fortress is broken. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu used to say before Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, because obviously he passed away before Umar radiallahu anhu passed away after Abu Ubaidah. But when both of them were living, Abu Ubaidah used to say, if Umar radiallahu anhu passes away, then we would become weak. I do not want to have everything that the sun rises and sets on. In other words, the whole world, right? I won't want to have that, and I must live after the era of Umar radiallahu anhu. That even if somebody has to tell me, you'll have the whole world, right? And you must live after Umar radiallahu anhu passes away, I wouldn't choose that. I wouldn't want to live after he passes away. He was asked why. He replied, you will see what I say if you live long enough. As for him, if a person were to be made a ruler after Umar radiallahu anhu, and were he to take the people to task like Umar radiallahu anhu used to do, people won't obey him. And if he were to act weakly with them, they would kill him. So Umar radiallahu anhu was such that even if he took the whip and he gave somebody one shot also, they would just keep quiet and listen. He had such awe and the people loved him so much that no matter what rule he made, no matter even he reprimanded a person, whatever he did, people will listen. If somebody else tries to do the same thing, the people will rebel. They won't obey. And if the ruler decides that, okay, let me be lenient and soft, they'll take advantage over his soft nature and they'll kill him. And that's exactly what happened to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. So that's why Abu Ubaidah is saying, if you live long enough, you will understand what I'm saying now. After Umar Renan passes away, you will realize the words that I'm saying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said that Umar radiallahu anhu is the door, right? To all the fitan, he is the door. The day he passes away, the fitnas will come. Fitnas will come. Fear of Allah Ta'ala. We talk about the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Now generally when we talk about Umar radiallahu anhu, it's just something for our general knowledge, right? It's not anything like part of our deen, but just something for our general knowledge, right? We read that when Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed, right? And Abu Lu'lu also stabbed 13 other Sahaba radiallahu anhu. 7 of them also became Shaheed. Right? The other 6 survived. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi narrated, the non-Arab infidel, means this Abu Lu'lu Majusi, he proceeded on carrying a double-edged knife and stabbing everyone he passed by on the right and left, till he stabbed 13 people, out of whom 7 passed away. Even if Umar radiallahu anh had wronged or oppressed the man, what was the wrong done by the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that he attacked them also? If he was upset with Umar radiallahu anhu, because he came with a complaint to Umar. So Umar told him, you go carry on doing your work. Be obedient to your master. And Umar radiallahu anhu was going to talk to the Sahabi and say, you know, I'll give him a little bit more. Right? So even if he was upset and that's why he went to do it, what wrong did the other 7 Sahaba do to him? They didn't do anything. It is absolutely wrong to say that Umar radiallahu anhu had oppressed him. Since Bukhari Sharif narrated that upon being stabbed, Umar radiallahu anhu asked, O Ibn Abbas, who attacked me? Abdullah Ibn Abbas kept looking, and after that he came to say to him that the slave of Mughira. The slave of Mughira. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked the craftsman, the person who used to do crafts. So Ibn Abbas said, yes. Umar radiallahu anhu said, may Allah curse him. I did not treat him unjustly. And then he said, all praises are for Allah Ta'ala, who has not caused me to die at the hand of a man who claims himself to be a Muslim. In other words, this person is a non-Muslim. If he stabbed me, no problem. Right? But if a Muslim stabbed me, then now, that means I wronged a Muslim. Why did he stab me? I did something wrong to him. Now on the day of Qiyamah, our case will have to come in front of Allah Ta'ala in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he made shukr that a Muslim never stabbed him. This person is a non-Muslim fire worshipper, no problem. So the Zoroastrian is the darling of the enemies of Islam. Right? This fire worshipper, he is the darling of the enemies of Islam because he stabbed Umar radiallahu anhu. He killed Umar radiallahu anhu. They actually built a tomb for him in Iran. That's why I never ever think that the Shia, you can unite with the Shia. The Shia hate Islam. They hate the Muslims. Right? Who will put a memorial for a person who stabbed Umar radiallahu anhu? Only people who are happy about it, right? They're happy about it. So in Iran, they put a memorial for this person, and they named it Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. A scholar of Iraq said, Sayyid Hussein Musawi, he said, in the Iranian city of Kashan, there is a tomb like that of the unknown soldier. It contains a fake grave of Abu Lu'lu, the Persian Zoroastrian, the murderer of Amir al-Mu'mineen, second Khalif Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. They have named it Tomb of Baba Shuja'uddin. They have given the title Baba Shuja'uddin, saint brave for his religion. Shuja'uddin means somebody who is brave for his religion, right? Baba means a saint. They actually gave him sainthood. So they gave him this title because he killed Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. The walls of the tomb have been inscribed in Persian with the words Marh. You know, we don't even like to say these words. Right? Marh bar Abu Bakr. Marh bar Umar. Marh bar Uthman. Meaning, wa na'udhu billah, death to Abu Bakr, death to Umar, death to Usman, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Right? This is what these Iranian Shias have written there. This tomb is visited by Iranian Shiites. They revere it. They go there to this tomb. And money is thrown there. So this Sayyid Hussein Musawi, he says, I have seen this tomb myself. The Iranian Ministry of Religious Guidance has started renovating it and expanding it also. On top of this, they print its image on postcards also. Now normally, places of sightseeing in a country will be on the postcards. Like South African postcards now, they'll have the Big Five. And they'll have, you know, all Cape Town something and Table Mountain and... So they, one of the places to visit in Iran is this tomb. They respect it so much that they got it on their postcards also. So foolish people who think that no, Iranians now put our differences aside with the Shias and we must become one, they're dreaming. They're in a dream world. Right? They're either ignorant or they too are with the Shias. They want to see the downfall of Islam. Right? Or they're just downright ignorant. They don't know any better. So the fear of Allah Ta'ala that held sway on Umar Radhiyallahu's heart is elucidated by what he said before his martyrdom after knowing that he had been stabbed by a kafir. Right? He said, all praises are for Allah Ta'ala who has not caused me to die at the hand of a man who claims himself to be a Muslim. So despite the legendary justice that he was characterized with by all, whether people were living near him, far away from him, whether it was Arab people, non-Arab people, despite all of that, he was still fearful that I mustn't have done injustice to a Muslim. That now that Muslim took his revenge by murdering me, and that Muslim will seek justice in the court of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. According to Zuhri's report, Umar radiallahu anhu said, all praise is for Allah Ta'ala who did not make my murderer one who can dispute with me in front of Allah Ta'ala by means of a single sajda he made only to Allah Ta'ala. Similarly, Mubarak bin Fudala narrated that Umar radiallahu anhu said he might dispute with me with his words. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. So this is indeed something unique from this great leader of Islam, which all the callers of Islam and reformers should be trained to follow. Humility. Humility. Humility should be one of the greatest characters, not only them, all of us. Humbleness, humility. This is a great character. Umar now, normally when we talk about him, we think now, no, he was, you know, Jalali and all that. But look at his humbleness. Where they needed to show Jalal, they showed the Jalal. But where they needed to be humble, they were humble for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. It is also evident his humility, how he told his son, that go and ask permission. Don't say Amir al-Mu'mineen is asking. Umar is asking. And after I pass away, go ask permission again. Don't just go bury me there. Ask permission again. And what a great sacrifice Ma'isha radiallahu anha made, right? That she herself wanted to be buried next to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and her father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. But when Umar radiallahu anh sought her permission, she said that I had the idea of reserving this place for myself, but today I give preference to Amir Mu'mineen, to Umar radiallahu anh, over myself. Umar radiallahu anhu's zeal for commanding good and forbidding evil did not leave him even as he faced death with all the associated pain and distress. Now this is a very important thing. Today the Ummah takes this thing so lightly. Right? When he was stabbed and it became apparent that he would not live for long, so people started coming to visit him, you know, like console him, say their last words, whatever. Right? A young man came. Young man came. He said, oh Amirul Mu'mineen, glad tidings from Allah Ta'ala to you, because you kept company with the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And your superiority in Islam, that is something which you know, all of us are aware of it. Then you became the Khalif and you ruled with justice, and finally you are now a shaheed. You have been made a shaheed. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I wish that all these privileges will counterbalance my shortcomings. In other words, if Allah Ta'ala just makes it quds, I don't get anything, I don't get any rewards, and I don't get any punishment. That much will be sufficient for me. Where can I hope for anything more than that? But when the young man turned around to leave, now imagine he's stabbed, he's in pain, right? He's fatally wounded, Umar radiallahu anhu. And this young man turned around to leave. Umar radiallahu anhu noticed that his clothing was over his ankles. Immediately Umar radiallahu anhu said, call him back here. Call that boy back here. When he came back, Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, oh my nephew. He wasn't his nephew, but they talked out of love in Arabic, you know. So he said, oh my nephew, lift your clothes. Raise your pants. Now pick your pants up. This will keep your clothes clean. In other words, worldly benefit is your clothes will stay clean, and it will save you from the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. So in the akhirat also you will get a benefit. And today's time, people come out with flimsy excuses. You get these people, they so hell-bent on doing things against the sunnah, right? No, that was for that time, because the roads were dirty and they didn't have, some people go to this extent, wallah, Allah Ta'ala protect us. You know what they say? They say, no, you see, that time they didn't have a sewerage system. So now all napaki and everything on the road, so that's why they had to wear their garments so high. What do you think, sahaba were walking in napaki? They're walking in feces. This can only come from warped minds. This is a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there is warning in the hadith for those men who wear their garment below the ankle. In one hadith said, that is pride. You're wearing it below your ankle is pride. Now if it wasn't an important thing, would Umar radiallahu anhu in that condition call the youngster back and reprimand him? If it was just a small thing, he didn't have to, you know, worry about it. If it was a small thing in deen, right, then Umar wouldn't have worried to reprimand the person while he's in that condition. But because it is a big thing, it's a very big thing in our deen, that's why Umar radiallahu anhu called him back and reprimanded him in a nice way, told him. Hence, Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu said, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy on Umar radiallahu anhu. The condition he was in was in such a condition, but even in that condition, it didn't prevent him from speaking the truth. In other words, speaking what is haq, making Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, even in that condition. Time is up. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We'll continue with this, inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته